Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Well, greetings, my friends, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth, and justice, believers in peace, freedom, and the American way. Tom Hartman here with you. We've got a lot to talk about today. I want to start out with this narcissist, money-grubbing pig and what he's going to be doing on 9/11. That whole idea that these, you know, white nationalists or white supremacists showing up at public schools, yelling and screaming and threatening people with their guns and their Confederate flags, demanding that the schools not use masks or not require vaccines for their kids over 12. In most cases, they're not parents, but there's a larger agenda here that has to do with destroying public schools. We'll get to that. And why would they want to do that? Well, you know, things like evolution and history and, well, we'll get to that. But let me start with this money-grubbing pig, this orange guy who was in the White House for 4 years, arguably because his good friends in Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates, and Russia helped put him there. You know, along with his good friends, the other billionaires in America, has decided on November 11th that rather than having a respectful recollection of November 11th, he's going to charge people $50 to hear him call the fight between Evander Holyfield and Victor Belfort. I may be mispronouncing that. I don't follow boxing. But say that again.
Vitor Belfort.
Vitor Belfort. Thank you, Nate. And his little boy, Donnie Jr., he's going to be helping, you know, he's to call this thing. Really? I mean, is this because Donald Trump, after 9/11, went on TV and lied about 9/11, saying that he had seen on TV Muslims celebrating in the streets of New Jersey? No, that never happened. He lied through his teeth about it. He repeated that lie probably dozens, maybe hundreds of times at various rallies and in other venues. That he lied that he went down to 9/11 to see if he could help out. He didn't. That he lied that he sent people from the Trump Organization down to the Twin Towers after they crashed to help clean up. He didn't. Is that why he's not doing this? Or is it a good thing for America and for all of us, frankly, that this money-grubbing pig is going to be kind of out of our sight because most of America is going to be paying attention to 9/11. And yeah, I get it. There's a few boxing fans out there, people who like to see, you know, one human being injure another human being in a way that may kill them or destroy their lives permanently with traumatic brain injury. You know, I get that. but I think most of America is not there anymore. I know boxing was popular like 100 years ago when we had no idea how much damage being hit in the head does to you. When we didn't know about all these football players who have committed suicide or for that matter, soldiers. I mean, we were wondering why so many Vietnam vets were homeless and dying early and committing suicide. Why is it that we have over 20 vets every single day who commit suicide in the United States? Turns out one of the bigger pieces of it is traumatic brain injury, which is, I mean, just think about this for a minute. You know, when I was a kid, there were these shows on TV where the private detective or the good guy, if he wanted to take out the bad guy, instead of pulling out a giant machine gun and killing him, it hit him over the head with a sap, right? You know, with a sock full of nickels or rocks or BBs or whatever, you know, something hard, and knock them unconscious. Well, now we know that if you get hit in the head hard enough to be knocked unconscious and you don't get really quick treatment for it, you can have what's called a traumatic brain injury, which can produce for the rest of your life clinical depression, suicidal depression, in addition to other disordered forms of thinking. So that's what Donald Trump is going to be doing on 9/11, and I just think this is crazy. And I know CNN is going to have a special tonight about 9/11. I believe. No, it's MSNBC is going to have it. Well, everybody's going to have specials on 9/11. I mean, you know, today is the 8th, tomorrow is 9/11. What I'm going to be looking for on the 9/11 specials is, are any of them going to point out, as Sandy Berger pointed out on this program back in 2003, Sandy Berger, who was Bill Clinton's national security advisor, came on this program. And he told us, just straight up, that when the presidential transition was happening from George Bush, Dick Cheney, and Condoleezza Rice that when the presidential transition was happening from Bill Clinton, Al Gore, and Sandy Berger to Dick Cheney and Condoleezza Rice, that he explicitly told Condoleezza Rice, the person who was taking his job, that Osama bin Laden was planning to attack America, that he was seriously pissed off about our still having American soldiers on Saudi Air Force Base. And he knew, he had personal knowledge, that Al Gore had told Dick Cheney the same thing and that Bill Clinton had told George W. Bush the same thing. He got it. He knew it. And Bush said, okay, Dick Cheney, I'm putting you in charge of this 9/11 security. I mean, it wasn't 9/11 then, but I'll put you in charge of this Osama bin Laden thing. The Democrats are all hysterical about this. Bill Clinton says he's going to attack us. He actually had attacked us several times. He blew up a couple of our ships, you know, the USS Cole, and there was another one. So he put Dick Cheney in charge of that, and Dick Cheney had two jobs that George W. Bush put him in charge of. That was one, counterterrorism, do something about bin Laden. And number two was figure out how to invade Iraq and how we're going to split up the oil fields and which American companies are going to get which oil fields and which ones we're going to sell off to foreigners when we take control of Iraq. Cheney's Iraq task force met multiple times. They drew up these elaborate maps. Larry Klayman, the right-wing head of Judicial Watch, sued under the Freedom of Information Act, got those maps and published them. And that's what Cheney was doing from January 20th of 2001 until 9/11. He had one meeting in, a couple of weeks before 9/11 of his terrorism task force, and as far as we can all tell, you know, they had some coffee and ate some donuts. But they did nothing. Is that going to be discussed? Is it going to be discussed that the planning for 9/11 was done in Germany and in Florida and in Pakistan, not in Afghanistan? Sure, Osama bin Laden paid for it, and he was living in Afghanistan. And yeah, he did have a training camp in Afghanistan, but it was like these guys in Midwestern states who go out in the woods and shoot up trees you know, practicing, you know, in their camo guard. It had nothing to do with 9/11. None of those people went through 9/11. In fact, the people who went, the 19 people who participated in 9/11, seven of them were engineers. I mean, you know, like mechanical engineers, like, you know, college degree engineers. So, yeah, they knew how to take down a building with an airplane. 15 of them were Saudis. One was an Egyptian. One was a Lebanese. Two were from the United Arab Emirates. None of them were from Afghanistan or Iraq. Is any of that going to be discussed in these commemoratives? What are you looking for in this? What lesson do you think America needs to learn from 9/11? Other than that, on the anniversary, the 20th anniversary of it, our former president. Can you imagine if Obama was calling a boxing match? Just think about that for a minute. President Obama is going to call a boxing match on 9/11 instead of going and laying a wreath. Can you imagine the freak out? Mike in Wycliffe, Ohio. Hey, Mike, what's on your mind today?
Hello, Tom. That's Wycliffe, Ohio. Wycliffe. Not that it matters.
Okay, no, it's all good.
Ohio is one of the most ignorant states in the Union, run by Republicans, of course.
Yeah, it seems.
And one of the most corrupt states in the Union. But getting back to 9/11, I saw a wonderful program last night on PBS Frontline.
Mm-hmm.
I would urge yourself and your listeners to watch it. It's about 2 hours long, but specifically what it was from the very beginning when the Russians were leaving and how it led up to January the 6th.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just a startling program to watch. But you know what, Tom? I'm convinced, and I'll be 70 years old in a couple months, so I lived through the Vietnam era. No, we won't learn.
Yeah.
We never do.
Well, and there's huge financial interests on the side of war.
Of course. Specifically, the U.S. As long as the U.S. Chamber of Commerce and other right-wing entities operate this country, and they do, It will be never ending.
And there's also political interests. I mean, you know, the most famous kings of Europe were the ones who ran wars. Some of our most famous presidents were the ones, you know, Lincoln, FDR, who ran wars. War is something that is rarely a bad bet for a president. And well, nobody's even remembering George W. Bush lying us into two wars. You know, everybody's.
Believe me, Tom, the program gets into that in depth.
Oh, fascinating.
And it's just a tremendous program. But I'm not sure if it was Michael Moore that said, and I mean, this hits it right on the head with this country. Ignorance leads to fear, and fear leads to hate.
Yeah.
And that's one thing that I got out of that program.
Yeah, fear is almost always the basis of hate. Yeah,
it's so depressing. But I don't see how it would end, because it seems to me, and you might have said it, where George Bush was at one of these international meetings, and someone came up to him and asked him what the United States makes. And he said to them, "We make war."
Hmm. I don't recall that, but
you know. At any rate, Tom, if you get the time, and it is, like I said, it is 2 hours long, but it's just tremendous.
It's on PBS, you said.
On PBS Frontline.
Frontline. Oh, Frontline does great investigative reporting. Mike, thank you for that.
Okay, you bet, Tom.
Yep. And thanks for watching us on Free Speech TV there in Ohio. Janine in Fort Myers, Florida. Hey, Janine, thanks for watching us on YouTube. What's up?
Gosh, you're just like a national treasure. I so appreciate your show.
Thank you.
I want to give you some verbal ammunition. I think it should be called the killbuster because it kills bills and it kills democracy.
Ah, that's a good one. I like that.
Yeah.
I like
that.
You
want one more?
Sure.
Republicans don't do very well with long-range thinking. You know, as you've said, they're killing off their base by being anti-vaccine and anti-mask. But, you know, these anti-abortion laws, largely affecting poor black women, will lead to a population explosion of black births.
Yeah, I sort of pointed that out last week. I'm very wary of basically talking to white supremacists. but you would think that the white supremacists in Texas would be saying, hey, wait a minute, let me get this straight. White women, by and large, you know, this is why more than half of them voted for Trump, can afford to fly from Texas to, you know, name your state and get an abortion. But black and Hispanic women, obviously not all are poor. There's a strong and substantial black and Hispanic middle class, actually. And there's a, you know, a few very wealthy black and Hispanic people. But by and large, the pockets of poverty that exist in Texas are more black and Hispanic than they are white. And so they're not going to get abortions. They're going to, you know, carry their babies to term. And so you're going to end up with more black and brown people, right, and fewer white people. And, right, you know, hey, white racists in Texas, have you figured this out? Maybe your governor, yeah, is selling you out. Maybe you, yeah, you know, you thought he was one of you. You thought he was a white racist, but here he is. I mean, you know, like I said, Janine, I was reluctant to go down that road. In fact, my wife, who's a wise counselor and with Sean, the executive producer of this program, advised me against it. And I think she was right. But you have a point. It's like amplifying the whole white supremacist thing to go there too much. But yeah.
And in addition, it's more unwanted children, more prisons being full,
that's
more social
tragedy,
work, you know, necessary and support from greater society. It's really tragic.
Yeah, that's the real tragedy. And we saw this in the 80s and 90s. After abortion was decriminalized in 1973, the number of unwanted children, the number of went down. The foundling homes essentially went out of business. Many of the child care facilities that existed back in the 80s and 90s, and Louise and I started one in the 1980s in New Hampshire, no longer exist. And it's because this large population of unwanted children that had come out of the abortion being illegal up until 73, and really functionally illegal until 74, 75. It just got, you know, took a couple of years before it got easier to get an abortion. So that large population of unwanted children became the kids who, you know, either desperately needed social or mental health services or were in prison. And crime has been going down steadily since the 1990s. It's at the lowest levels ever, you know, if you separate out the last year and a half or so because of COVID. And there's a good argument to be made that that's why. And that's going to reverse. Yeah. That trend is going to reverse itself. But, you know, Greg Abbott will be long gone by then. I mean, that trend will reverse itself in another 15 years. Yeah. So, Janine, thank you. Thank you for the call.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe, now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
And And welcome back. Tom Harbin here with you and Ziggy in Oneida, New York. Hey, Ziggy, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Tom, and it's Oneonta, New York.
Oneonta. And, thank you.
Yes, you got it. What I do every day is I receive your rant via email, and I use that as a basis to write the president, my two senators, and my congressman via email on the subject that you sent out. So for today, my email to them was to end the Medicare Advantage scam. And I was thinking if more people also did that, we could get more exposure to our subjects, possibly with our elected officials.
Very cool. Yeah. And, you know, my daily rant, which is typically, you know, my opening rant on the show, but I, you know, Louise and I write it the night before and the morning of. I mean, we worked on it for about an hour this morning before we published it, is at HartmanReport.com, and it's free. And it's got no ads, and we don't sell our list or anything like that. So it's just, it's there as our version of a public service. Ziggy, that's great. Thank you. Thanks for the idea. By the way, there's another point that I wanted to make here. Just a very quick rant, and then I'll pick up your phone calls. As I said, we have no guests today. It's you and me. We're going to have a wonderful day, a fascinating day. And that is this idea that, and Mark Sumner laid this out brilliantly over at Daily Kos, and I want to give him credit for it. He's one of the best writers out there. Mark Sumner and Hunter, are, between the two of them, and Gabe Ortiz when it comes to immigration things, as well as others. You know, Marcos has got some great people writing for him. This was titled, "Attacks on Masks in Schools Aren't Just About Masks. They're an Attempt to Destroy Public Education." And I want to go even beyond what Mark was pointing out. Back in the 70s, Ronald Reagan, when he was trying to make his national chops to run for president in 1980, Ronald Reagan was pushing for a requirement that every school in America have prayer every day, prayer in school. In fact, there was talk about a prayer in school constitutional amendment, prayer in school laws. You know, prayer in school was like a major battleground. Then there was the sex ed battleground around the same time, and in the 80s and in the early 90s, sex education in schools, how we've got to have abstinence-only sex education. Reagan actually put that into place, and that was in 1982 or 83. He put into place a federal program to provide curriculum to schools all over the country. It was a well-funded program that was abstinence-only education. No mentioning of condoms, no mentioning of birth control pills, no mentioning of abortion, of course. Girls, boys won't want to marry you if you're not a virgin when you get married. And boys, you don't want to get sexually transmitted diseases from those girls. That's the essence of it, right? And that got, you know, by the Obama administration, that got defunded in 2010. And Trump brought it back and tripled the funding for this. And so a lot of states are doing this. And so this, I mean, this is like the school boards, our public schools have been battlegrounds for a long time. That's just one example. There are other examples. The other one, obviously, right now that everybody's talking about is the teaching of the actual racial history of the United States, the so-called critical race theory, and, you know, how it's being banned in state after state and all this kind of stuff. But what we're finding at these school board meetings is that these people showing up who don't have children, who are members of right-wing militias and white supremacist groups, and are shouting about Nazism and masks and vaccine mandates and all this kind of stuff, there is a hidden agenda here. And the hidden agenda isn't just indoctrinate the next generation. That's a piece of it, which is why they're all hysterical about the teaching of history. But a larger piece of it is literally to destroy public education. When David Koch ran for president in 1980 on the Libertarian ticket, part of his platform was to end all free public education. Libertarians have been pitching this forever. This isn't just David Koch, who is now passed along. This is their thing. Public education is socialism. We can't have this. We've got to have education being provided by churches and by billionaires and by for-profit schools. And so by forcing teachers to expose themselves to deadly diseases and turning our public schools into hotbeds of disease, what comes out of that? More private schools, more opportunities for grifters and hustlers to make a buck. And by the way, more whites-only public private schools. And then you just, leave the public schools. Yeah, of course we want to have a few public schools for the black people and the Hispanic people and the, this is where they're going.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
These people showing up at these school board meetings, they want to destroy public education, not fix it. They're not patriots. They're saboteurs. Max in Clackamas. Hey, Max, what's on your mind? Thanks for watching this on YouTube.
Hey, Tom. Good to see you on YouTube. I just wanted to call and sort of both warn people and ask people. My little sister, she's 20 years old. She suffers from pre-existing conditions which cause her to be prescribed a drug called Humira, which is an immunosuppressant.
Right.
So already she has a very high risk of getting sick. Because of that, she was responsible and got the vaccine and was doing everything that we've all been advised to do to prevent the spread and catch of COVID. And then she went back to her little private Christian evangelical university in Ohio, which had a 1 in 10 infection rate.
Oh, God.
And yeah, she just got out of the ER, out of the hospital in Ohio. She, being 20 years old, tried to get into the regular hospital in Ohio. Mm-hmm. And my mom sent me pictures of people like literally gasping for air on the sidewalk outside the hospital. Like a fish out of water.
Wow.
Kind of thing. She said it was like talking to my mom. She's very emotional always, over the little things. But she was completely just zombie almost. She said, "Yeah, it's like something from a bad movie. Like just like that, just matter of fact."
I think we've all become a little numb to it, Max.
Yeah,
it's amazing that we have come to the point where we're accepting 1,500 people dying a day or 600,000 Americans dead as like, well, okay, that's life, I guess. It's amazing.
It really hits you different when it's like your own little sister.
Yeah.
And I can imagine how it hits different if it's your,
is
your
she
mom.
Okay now?
Or, no. I mean, she's out of the ER, which, by the way, she got into a children's hospital ER because she's only 20 and they started accepting children, starting accepting people up to 21.
Mm-hmm.
Her left leg is basically a limp noodle, as my mom described. She has to use a walker.
Oh,
and she gets dizzy. Somehow, I'm not a medical expert, but I hear that, and I'm like, somehow that's got to like affect the nerves,
right,
or something.
She might
also
have
with the loss of taste and smell, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's a nerve thing.
Yeah.
So, my word is, people who are on immunosuppressants already know to be extra careful,
yeah.
But maybe don't send your kid back to an evangelical university where there's a 10% positivity rate. And her roommates, by the way, are like mocking her. You know it's bad when my mom and the mother of one of my sister's college roommates, get into an argument on Facebook over, whether it's real or not. It's just completely bananas. Yeah, it's just bananas. It's surreal. Meanwhile, Tom, I don't know if you're aware of this, but good luck finding a therapist or a counselor anywhere in the Portland regional metro. Everybody's completely booked up for the next 2 months.
Oh, yeah. My daughter-in-law is a psychotherapist. It's the business is booming, sadly.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no kidding.
Business is booming.
Well, Tom, good to talk to you.
Nice talking to you,
everybody,
Max.
Everybody be safe.
Yeah,
especially
amen.
If you're on Humira.
There you go.
Yep.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks, Max. What a story. Tom Hartman here with you, Raven in Medford. Hey, Raven, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Tom, how are you?
I'm great.
I have two things to say, one very quickly and very strongly. So the first is that I am a HIV patient of 30-something years. Mm-hmm. I have a T-cell count slightly over 200. I've taken the vaccine. I've been fully vaccinated. And I have no problems from it whatsoever.
Good.
If I probably hadn't taken it, I'd probably be dead by now because I have such a low T-cell count.
Yeah.
There is no excuse to not take the vaccination.
Amen.
The second thing is that, I hate to say it, but I believe that as long as we refuse to treat the anti-vaxxers and the seditionists as they truly deserve, that doesn't mean we have to be violent towards them, but as long as we refuse to treat them as they truly deserve, they're simply going to continue because what they're really doing is taking advantage of our better natures.
And so here's the question, Raven.
They can do that.
What is the treatment that they truly deserve that you're advocating?
I'm saying, so I trained in mental health, and we used to have addicts and alcoholics. And we found that if we got them away from their buddies, from their crowd, and we started dealing with them in detox with the reality of the situation, a number of them actually began to come around. But if we had any of the staff that would even, even show sympathy towards their position, they would immediately fall back into their old behaviors and thinking. Hmm. We had to be very strong, very firm about what reality really was. And even if they became violent towards us, we would have to say, no, you are wrong, and that is all there is to it. I don't have to show you any facts or anything else. You know yourself that you're wrong. And I'm not going to stop Tom or Jerry from voicing their opinion, which is correct. I'm not going to stop giving so-and-so their medication. I'm not going to stop any of that. Mm-hmm. You have to accept where you are at and where everyone else is at. And we are not going to constantly placate to you and baby you.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm over it. I'm just completely over it. And I'm also over this press coverage. I want to tomorrow really make that a focus of my rant, this press coverage that, like, oh, gee, we've got two Americas, people who don't want to get vaccinated and people who do want to. No, we've got a fringe that has been convinced by foreign trolls and by hustlers in the Republican Party who are trying to create a crisis in the United States to make it difficult for Joe Biden to govern because they want Republicans to be in control of the country again so that they can cut taxes for billionaires and further deregulate the country. And that's what's going on. It's not like, you know, half the country doesn't want to get vaccinated. 70% of the country is vaccinated now. We're one of the highest rates in the world, but not in the red states or not in the red counties. And that is just so wrong. And I'm sick and tired of it. I'm over it with these people. Robert in Omaha. Thank you, Raven. Robert in Omaha, Nebraska. Hey, Robert, what's up?
Yes. Hello. I would like to ask you a question. And I feel like there's no easy way to ask this. And the exception to this question would be, like, for anybody who has any close family or friends who were affected by it. But I know that.
You're talking about 9/11?
9/11. Yeah, 9/11 happened, like, in 2001, and it's now, like, 2021. And I know that after the first few years after a tragedy, we remember and we pay our respects to people and everything. But then after a while, what is your opinion on, like, after a while, would it be okay to, like, maybe ask people to, like, I don't know, like, or if we sort of, like, move on or?
Well, that's what happens throughout history, Robert. We, you know, we no longer memorialize the end of World War. Well, we sort of do. I mean, that's November 11th. It used to be called Armistice Day, you know, now we call it something else, but it started out memorializing the signing of the armistice that ended World War I. We still remember Pearl Harbor. We still remember VE Day, but not in the ways that we did in the 50s when I was a kid, when it was a huge deal, right, these things. I think, you know, time heals all wounds, as it were, and it fades away these memories. And there will be new outrages, I guarantee you. Robert, thank you for the call. I get your question. I don't think that there's a clean or simple answer other than that time tends to take care of those things. And you're absolutely right. For people who lost somebody in 9/11, it's never going to go away. It'll be with them for the rest of their lives. And they're going to want to have something. They're going to want to have a memorial. And it's fine with me. Mike in Seattle. Hey, Mike, what's up? What's on your mind?
Well, I'm on the things that you rail against. I happen to
Medicare
have
Advantage.
I have it with Kaiser Permanente, and
that's one of the better programs. Actually, as long as you stay in system, you're in good shape.
I don't really have much to complain about. There's a few things I could rant about, but they've been pretty decent. I get the screenings get done on a regular basis. In fact, if I don't want to go in, they like actually nag me on it.
Right, because they're looking for things that they can use to raise their risk score so they can increase the amount of money that they're draining out of the Medicare trust fund.
Calm down, Tom. Part of what they're looking for is they're looking to make sure that I don't get sick, that I don't get something that gets really, really bad, that they can catch it early on. That's been a...
Of course, that's a piece of it. That's what your doctor should be doing every year. That's why you have a physical.
Right. That's what group health has done. I've been with these folks for 20-some years.
Yeah.
I'm on a very, very expensive medicine, which is the only thing that's keeping me alive. And I did have to deal with a death panel, but they approved me first try. And I have to go in every 3 weeks. It's an infusion type of process. It sucks. Mm-hmm. I don't do needles very good.
Yeah.
And it's in the infusion nurses here in Seattle, they're the greatest people in the world.
I'm glad it's working for you, Mike. And because you now have a pre-existing condition, it'll be very difficult for you to get back to regular Medicare. But if you're happy with Kaiser, you know, good luck and God bless. I mean, that's all I can say. What I do know is that Kaiser is one of the better plans. Typically, the ones administered by HMO are better. But if you get sick in an area where you're out of plan, where you can't get to a Kaiser facility or one that they have a cooperative agreement with, it can cost you a fortune. And I hope that doesn't happen to you.
Yeah. My sister and her husband have standard Medicare. And they changed gap policies, and that was a fiasco. He's on a special medication, and they didn't want to cover it because it's the more expensive stuff.
Right.
And she spent about a month on the phone, and they wanted him to go back to this older medication and try it, and she's like, it'll kill him.
Yeah.
And so she took a month and untold hours on the phone and emails to get finally the correct medication.
Yeah, that is not a problem that is unique to either Medicare Advantage or Medigap insurance. That is a insurance company problem.
It's
why we need to get rid of that 20% gap in Medicare and just have Medicare cover 100%. It's just very straightforward. But Mike, I'm glad to hear of your success so far with it, and I wish you the very best. Tom in Florence, Oregon. Hey, Tom, what's up?
Oh, hi, Tom. I just successfully completed my change from Advantage, AARP Advantage, over to Medigap in Oregon.
Oh, cool.
I can explain the process. There's a lot of talk about what you need to do, but I just did it, and I'll explain how. Yes, first, I'm in Oregon. Your state may vary. Oregon has two laws. One is in your first year after your 65th birthday, you can change to Medigap without a penalty, without pre-existing conditions being considered.
If you signed up for Medicare Advantage when you turned 65, because your insurance agent hustled you into it or you saw a TV ad, you still have 12 months before they can really screw you that you can shift back to regular Medicare and Medigap.
Exactly. I took the free AARP Advantage plan in my first 3 months after I was automatically put on A and B. So you Google Oregon and Medicare, and they refer you to a volunteer counselor at an organization called SHIBA, S-H-I-B-A. And that person walked me through on, he ran up some estimates and sent me PDFs on all the Medigap plans and also the drug plans. So I found the cheapest one in a small town like Florence, Oregon. There's a local State Farm agent where I'm paying $1,490 a year for the Medigap plan.
Which ain't bad.
And the trick is that they go through underwriting, but it's no pre-existing review. condition review, no medical review, none of that stuff. It's almost automatic.
Right.
And then every year, since the Medigap plan can change from $133 a month, can change prices, and there's 20 companies to choose from, you have 30 days after your next birthday to change even your Medigap plan without pre-existing conditions in Oregon.
That's great.
So I made that move, but there's a gotcha here. You also have to have a drug plan in order not to have a penalty under Medicaid.
Mm-hmm.
So the way to do that is wait for the underwriter to approve your Medigap switchover. And after you've done that, you go get a drug plan. I can find one for $6.30 a month.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do sign up for that drug plan, and you have to wait till get activated on the Medigap, then the drug plan you sign up for automatically cancels the AARP Advantage plan. So you have to do it in a two-step process, but it was so easy and it's cheaper. I'm paying $1,500 a year when even my deductible is $2,900 a year on the free plan.
On the old Advantage plan. Huh. Tom, thank you for that.
The Tom Hartman Program.
That's a great one. I picked up the drug coverage plan from the same company that I get my Medigap plan from, for what it's worth. That works well for me. Quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. With higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR, all into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required. It's accessible from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/Hartman with two N's. netsuite.com/Hartman. That's netsuite.com/Hartman.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
And welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you and Joe in Portland. Hey, Joe, what's on your mind?
Tom, it's actually Jeff. Good morning.
Oh, I'm sorry, Jeff. Yeah, I thought you're talking about Joe Manchin. My apologies.
Yes. Yeah, and by the way, congratulations on the new book. I look forward to getting it. But yeah, regarding, and thanks for calling out Biden and Schumer regarding Joe Manchin. And Tom, we need to remind people and corporate media that Joe Biden, the Democrats, were elected to bring the pandemic under control, B, get the economy going again by building back better in a way that mitigates the growing threat of climate change, which just last week wreaked havoc across the country. You know, 90% of Democrats support the $3.5 trillion reconciliation plan, Tom. So, you know, imagine he's not just going against Biden. He's going against the entire Democratic agenda that won us back the House and the Senate.
Yep.
And finally, Tom, I would link this. I see what's going on in California right now as a microcosm of what to expect in 22 and 24. You know, this recall vote is way too close for comfort. As Lawrence O'Donnell explained last night, if 50% or more people in California don't vote no, and right now it's only like at 53%, if 50% or more don't vote no, then California's going to get Larry Elder, the longtime mentor of Trump's white supremacist advisor, Stephen Miller. This would be a disaster that ripples across the whole country. Yep. I mean, you've talked about it, and you know, the Senate's at stake if this guy gets in and finds, you know, replaces Feinstein, Dianne Feinstein. So, I mean, it's just crazy to think that it's that close. And it shows, you know, you got to give people, the whole thing is you got to motivate people to get out to vote. And the Latinos in California have been a little slow at waking up. Just last month they were pro-recall, and now they've shifted. But, you know, it's really going to take a big effort to get people out to vote. And get over that 50% threshold. So, yeah. And all you, whatever you can keep doing to sound the alarm. Jean Guerrero is a great writer for the LA Times, and she's really documented the extent of Larry Elder's white supremacist leanings. If you ever wanted to talk to her,
yeah, which is so ironic because he's a black guy.
Yeah, I mean,
that's how he gets away with it, basically.
It's crazy. You know, Spike Lee did a movie called Black Klansman. And I mean, and it was actually about a guy, an African American who infiltrated the Klan. Right. But, you know, a true story. But he did it because it was over the phone. Of course, the Klan wouldn't accept a black man. But if they did, Larry Elder would probably be the first one.
He's just one of the most bizarre characters out there. And if you're living in California and you haven't gotten your ballot in, do it now. The fact that the one ray of light that I'm seeing right now, Jeff, is that all over the right-wingosphere, you've got right-wing crazies going, the vote in California is rigged. It's going to be voter fraud, massive voter fraud. I guarantee, because they see the probability, I think, and I shouldn't even say this, you know, I knock wood, that Gavin Newsom is going to win this thing. But they're prepared for that. They're gonna whine and complain and be the snowflakes that they are. If Newsom wins, and if he doesn't win, they're gonna do their best to destroy the sixth largest economy in the world and our most populous state.
It's a two-pronged strategy. Again, I think that's exactly what they'll do in 2022 as well.
Yep.
Just because they're starting to do that with the big lie, I don't think it could be like a rope-a-dope effort to get, you know, Democratic voters complacent there and not turn in their ballots.
Yeah. So turn in your ballots. This is a tight election. Jeff, thank you very much for that. Andy in Hoosick Falls, New York. Hey, Andy, what's on your mind today?
Hi, Tom. I just want to get back in touch with you on the prayer in the school systems.
The thing that Ronald Reagan was championing back in the 70s and 80s?
Yes, and I went to school in suburban New Jersey in the 70s and 80s, so I'm personal knowledge on this. So many of these parochial schools are gone now. And I think the Republicans know this. The Christian Church knows this. They're losing participation in the parochial school systems, and I think they know there's a correlation between that and the drop in participation in the churches.
Mm-hmm.
And so, as well as the fact that we know, Betsy DeVos proved this, that they want to privatize the school systems, I also believe that they are perfectly willing to take our public dollars and our public school money and use it to achieve the goals that they can no longer do with the private dollars, which they were getting in the parochial schools. I mean, let's face it, the middle class can't afford school taxes and parochial school tuition.
Right, private schools. Yeah.
And the Republican Party is not going to advocate for higher wages. We know that. So what they're going to do is that they're going to, like you said, try to form indoctrination programs like Reagan did. Prayer in schools, let's mandate this, because this is how they keep those participation levels up, especially in their voting populace as well as in their lobbyists, which are, you know, highly Christian in nature.
It's also an industry, Andy. Religion is an industry,
exactly,
in the United States, and it needs to be recognized as such. There are some aspects of religion that are very much not an industry, you know, monasteries and, you know, some, you know, there's some good stuff in religion. But a lot of religion in the United States, and particularly when you look at it through the lens of where the money is, a large portion of it is an industry. And it's an industry that has become very badly corrupted by grifters and con men.
Right. It's also very influential. And we also have a pattern of this. We've seen this before with the public dollars.
Yeah.
We know that back in the day, private corporations stopped paying for private police forces to bust up unions. They used the public police force and the public dollars to do the work for them.
Right.
And I think that the Republican Party would use the public dollars to get whatever Christian agenda they have through our school systems.
Yeah.
Just
and
like
these,
they did,
and these people are not Christians, they're Christianists. This is religion and political garb, politics and religious garb, actually, to get it correct.
A lot of hidden agendas going on.
There you go.
Yes.
Andy, thank you. Thank you for pointing that out. I appreciate it. Earl in Hyde Park, Illinois. Hey, Earl, what's up?
Hey, Tom. Thank you for taking my call. And what I was wondering with you is how do we facilitate vaccinations in these red areas in the state? Now, I live in Illinois, and one of the problems that we have down in the southern Illinois is like a red state. And some of the complaints that we're hearing from these areas that it's the lines are too long because the facilities have been shut down and not adequately staffed so that...
Hang on just a second, Earl. Lines for what? Are you talking for testing, for vaccination, for what?
For both of those.
Okay.
In the red areas. And so I was wondering, is there a way that Biden and form a cooperation with the Democratic governor to try to figure out a way to come down on the wait times and accessibilities for these critical, endeavors? Do you have any ideas on, what you could recommend that the government and state and local level, since the, federal yeah. government and the state government have various jurisdictions?
It's largely done on a state-by-state basis. I mean, the federal government was backstopping some of the big vaccination centers and all that kind of thing for quite some time, but they stopped doing that a few months ago when basically everybody who wanted to get vaccinated had gotten vaccinated, and it was, just the hardcore anti-vaxxers who weren't getting vaccinated. Now with the Delta, I agree with you, Earl. I think that they should start it back up again. I'm not sure that they have the money. It might require another congressional appropriation. Good luck getting that past Republicans in the Senate. It is a challenge. It is a real challenge.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archive.
It's the place where we dare to ask, is Walmart a person? And we dare to say, no, give me a break. Come on. Christine in Ashland, Oregon. Hey, Christine, what's on your mind today?
Hi, Tom. There we go. Hi, Tom. I just wanted to tell you about a little thing that happened to me in the grocery store yesterday.
Okay.
I take my car out to drive and do errands once a week, and so I did all of my errands, and I found people all over my town with their masks incorrectly being worn and face shields with no mask under it in buildings with a lot of people in them. And then I went to the grocery store, to our co-op here, and this lady's walking around with her mask below her nose. And when she got to the checkout where all these people are standing, she opens the beverage door, the cooler, mm-hmm. and sneezes into the cooler where all the drinks are, where people reach in and
Brilliant.
Get a beverage to drink with the tops, right there.
Mm-hmm.
And she sneezed into this twice. I just couldn't believe it. I'm just wondering if the virus is being spread purposely, because this was like a Typhoid Mary moment.
Yeah.
I just blew me away.
Odds are she didn't have the virus. She was just trying to be an ass, basically. She was trying to be a provocateur. She was trying to make a public statement. You would think if she had the virus that she, and she wasn't trying to spread it, that she would have sneezed into her elbow or something like that, you know, or at least into her mask. So it sounds like, you know, just people that we refer to as mask holes.
Yeah. Well, I sounded on her about it, and she put on her sunglasses and didn't say anything and just kind of made herself small.
Yeah.
But things are being spread so rapidly, it wouldn't surprise me people were actually going around. I'm not a conspiracy theory person, but geez, this just seems so deliberate.
It just blows
my mind.
It's troubling, Christine. It really is. And it's just the tip of the iceberg. I'm sorry to hear about the story, but thank you for sharing it with us. And thank you for the call. Patricia in Greeley, Colorado. Hey, Patricia, you were able to... you were on regular Medicare and your doctor's group stopped taking it? Is that the story?
Yeah, I'm going to change doctors after over 20 years, but I do have one more appointment, and I'm going to bring them a copy of your latest book when I go there, because I'm just so irritated at them.
Good. Well, generally the doctor's groups that refuse to take Medicare are the ones that are trying to figure out ways to rip off the system. So you're probably making a good choice.
Yeah, thank you. And they are only doing Humana Advantage plan, so I think Humana's just kind of cut them a deal, and maybe they want to ease their billing, because billing is a pain. But I'm just very disappointed in their choice, and that's about all I have to say. But I'm glad, I appreciate, and I wouldn't have known about this except for listening to your program. When I went on to Medicare, I made that choice because I was informed due to free speech in your program, so I thank you.
Oh, great. Well, thank you, Patricia. I'm glad it worked out well, and I'm sorry to hear that your doctor's group is, you know, being run as a business rather than as a medical practice. You know, thank you very much for the call. Good talking to you. The Tom Hartman Program, helping you win the water cooler wars as we tell the truth. The multinational corporations, we'd really rather you didn't know all about. We'll be right. And welcome back, Susanna in Rapid City, South Dakota. Hey, Susanna, what's on your mind today?
Hello, Tom. I have listened to you since 2004.
Well, thank you.
And I'm your biggest fan. I have a quote from Albert Einstein to share with you.
Mm-hmm. Go for it.
He says, the American nation is a nation of people who have gone from barbarism to decadence without becoming civilized.
Hmm. Interesting. It would be fascinating to know the context of that quote. You know, what provoked him to say that? Because he certainly watched, you know, what happened in Nazi Germany. He fled Nazi Germany.
Yes.
So that's fascinating. Suzanne,
well,
thank you.
I have been here for almost 50 years. I came from now Czech Republic, mm-hmm. where a group was more important than the one person. And here was the opposite. The one person is more important than the group. And what I noticed is that people are unaware of their effect on others.
Yeah. And how their selfishness can kind of echo through our society.
Yes.
Susanna, thank you. Thank you for sharing that, and thank you for sharing your thoughts and for listening to the programs all that long. Thank you.
Thank you. Congratulations on your book.
Thank you. Thank you. Rick in Cartersville, Georgia. Hey, Rick, what's on your mind today?
Tom, you had mentioned about the caller in Michigan who was a state retiree about the the program. Apparently, it's not just confined to the employees in Michigan, because I am a state retiree from the state of Georgia, and that back before I retired, that our general enrollment, that the people from the state had indicated that we would maximize my wife and I our state dollars if we went on an HMO program, and that after I, you know, retired, that we, of course, remained on the HMO program, and that it is something other that we have been now wrapped around after we have gone on, Medicare into the, Medicaid Advantage. And, of course, the only problem with switching over is the fact that, we would lose our participation through our employer, the state of Georgia, if we did go out and take a private plan. I'm just hoping that eventually that we will get national health care, Medicare for all, that will pay 100%, and that we won't have to fool with anything.
Yeah, like every other developed country in the world, instead of having all this mishmash and all these scams and hustles and states being paid off by insurance companies and doctors' practices trying to play games and everything else. Rick, thank you for that. It's not just one state. I'm not surprised. Thank you very much.
Right.
Good talking to you. Appreciate it. Luigi in Pensacola, Florida. Hey, Luigi, what's on your mind?
Hey, Tom. Thank you for taking my call, first of all. Second of all, wow, I've never heard you so angry in all the years I've listened to you. Sounds good to me, though, brother. I got to tell you something. What I do, and I don't know if it works for everyone, but I make telephone calls, like to Joe Manchin. I live in Florida, but I call his office, even his local office. And what I say to them, look, if you can take out-of-state PAC money from millionaires and billionaires, you certainly should be able to take and listen to phone calls from citizens of this country, seeing as how everything you vote on impacts me, my family, my state, and my nation.
Amen, so, brother.
And also, I'd like you to stop putting BS labels on their heads saying bought and sold, because that's what they need to walk around with, because that's exactly what Manchin is. And ditto to you, my friend. I use a lot of your stuff online. I get every morning. And I also read your rant first thing in the morning. I love it with my coffee. I don't do away with it. I don't even get near the paper until I read your rant. But thank you for taking my call, Tom. And I get nervous even though I'm a 76-year-old man. And by God, I'm not going to quit fighting until they put me in the coffin. And I love you, brother.
There you go. I share your sentiment, Luigi. I'm not going down until I'm going down. Thank you. Steve in Chicago. Hey, Steve, I have 30 seconds to the end of the show. You got a quick one here? You wanted to talk about the Chicago situation?
Only in that I'm concerned about the way in which we get information. This is a rather epistemological question, because those of us who live here in Chicago have information that's very different than what the national media has reported.
And, Steve, give me a shout tomorrow and let's talk about it, okay? Because I'm sorry, I'm just flat out of time, but give me a shout tomorrow and we'll get into it, because it's the end of the show. We'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place. In the meantime, don't forget, democracy is not a spectator sport. Get out there, get involved, get registered to vote if you're not. Make sure all your friends are. There's an election coming up in, 14 months thereabouts? So we got to start paying attention to this stuff. Big things happening. Tag, you're it. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a great afternoon.
You've been listening to Tom Hartman. For audio and video archives, visit TomHartman.com.